Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined us this morning. I'm kind of excited. I have a special guest on this morning. This young lady worked with me at Hippocrates for a very long time. She was there before I got there and was there after I left. She has earned a very special name for herself. Most of the guests and friends, etc., who have gotten to know her, refer to her as Lymph Linda. Now, there's a reason for that. And the reason is that she took it upon herself in the world of therapeutic massage to help people that were having problems with their lymph flow. And a lot of people don't understand how really, really important that is. She just got on my dashboard, so I'm going to bring her in because she knows so much more about all of this than I do. And hopefully those of you that don't get to listen this morning or don't have the opportunity to call in and ask Linda questions will contact me on Facebook or at least listen to the show streaming on Facebook today so that you get some of the questions you didn't even know you were supposed to ask answered. Good morning, Miss Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Renee. I'm great. A little cold, but I'm
good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're true Floridians, aren't we, honey? We're true Floridians.
Yeah, we really are.
Doesn't take long.
No,
it doesn't take long to climatize us. Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't.
How many years have you been here?
41.
Wow. Where are you from, Linda?
Say it again.
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from New York. I'm from a small town called Port Jervis. It's right where New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania all come together, and it's a little valley surrounded by mountains. So this time of year, the clouds would be so heavy with snow that they couldn't get over the mountain, and we would just get more snow and more snow and more snow.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got away from that when I was 19. I said, I'm done.
Right.
So then I moved to California. I said, I'm done. Let's go to California.
And how long did you live in? I never knew that you lived in California. How long did you live there?
From 19 until 26. I had my son. I got married and had my son. And 1 week after he was born, we had an earthquake. And I looked at my husband and said, yeah, we're out of here. And so we came to Florida. I'm not doing an earthquake.
Yeah.
So I've been here ever since.
I often worry about, just from the people that we met at Hippocrates. We have a lot of people that we know in California. And, of course, with the fires and just all the stuff that's happened in California in the last 10 years, it's been horrific. And, of course, people plant seeds where they live, you know, as you well know.
Yeah,
and it's hard to just say, okay, I'm out of here. But we do it. We all do it. So.
Well,
so
I was young.
When you're young, you can do anything. Isn't that true? You can, and nothing,
true.
It doesn't, it's not as easy. I mean, I'm 72. I don't think Linda's as old as I am, but I'm 72, and I don't feel like moving anywhere.
No. I have desires to move, and then I wake up. It's like, okay, I like where I am, but
right,
anyway.
Right.
But I was in Hippocrates for 17 years.
You've been here for 17 years?
I had Hippocrates 17 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they just decided to eliminate, according to them, to me, to eliminate the lymphatic department. And so I'm on my own. I've had an office for 12 years outside of Hippocrates. And I just love what I do. I have a passion. And when I got to Hippocrates, there was no lymphatic department. So I decided to do a lot of research because it's something that I was passionate with. And I made a breath class for people that can prevent breast cancer. and or help breast cancer if they did have it. And I invented, I'm an ex-preschool teacher. So as an ex-preschool teacher, we dumb down really hard things so we can teach 2 and 3 year olds. And like, where does lightning come from? What's a volcano? You know, why are there clouds? Things like that. And so I dumbed down a very, very, very hard system, which I'm actually proud of, and made a lymphatic lecture that people can understand the lymphatic system. And God gave me that talent. I don't know why he gave me that talent. But so I could talk to somebody that has no idea about the lymphatic system, or people that have gotten certified in lymphatic, and they can actually, one of the therapists came to me after looking at my lecture, and she says, Linda, this is the first time I've understood the lymphatic system. And she's certified.
Wow.
So that was a great compliment to me, an amazing compliment to me. So I'm in love with this system. It's your immune system, and anybody that's around COVID, which is all of us, should be on my table because I boost your immune system by moving your lymphatic. It's really an amazing system. Do you want me to do you have questions, or do you want me to speak?
I do want you, because there will be things that I do have some questions, but we'll wait until you give us, kind of a platform to work from. So, which you have already done a little bit of, but continue on with this, because I think what I told everybody that calls me, people I reached out to privately and said, look, Linda's going to be on my show. You've got stuff going on. You need to listen to this. So, of course, some of them are working now and they can't. So that's why it streams the rest of today and all night long on Facebook. And you can always get in the Blog Talk Radio site and click on my shows and listen to all of them. But this is important because a lot of people don't understand. I can remember as a little, I'm just going to share these couple things with you so that when you started doing that program, I was in the dark about that too. You always think breast cancer or any kind of cancer just starts with a little infection on the inside of your body, no matter where it is, whether it's breast cancer or liver cancer or kidneys or whatever. It's usually lifestyle has something to do with it, many times heredity. And all of this can be managed, that's a good word to use, I think, managed by how you treat your own body. I mean, you run a house and you know that every now and then, you don't have to do it every day like cleaning the kitchen, but every now and then you have to clean out the closets. You just have to go clean out the closets. Our body is the same way. So what I've asked some of the ones to do that have reached out to me recently is to listen to this show, because they will understand that if mom or dad or Aunt Tilly had breast cancer, it's in your family. It's literally like another pocket in your genes. So you should be paying attention to how everything runs through your body. And can you remember when you were a kid, if your little girl's underwear, the elastic on the legs felt too tight?
Yeah.
And you'd get like a little lump in between your vagina and your thigh. I remember that happening to me. And the doctor would give me penicillin because he said, you know, that I had some kind of a bug. I had so much penicillin as a child that I got allergic to it. So let's delve into all of that. Those lumps were my lymph. I know that now. I didn't know that then. Neither did my mother or my grandmother. So this is important, important, important stuff, a lot more important than we give it credit for. So having said all of that, these are some of the questions that come to me. So now I'm going to let you run with the ball. Every now and then I will interrupt to make sure that everybody understands what you've said, because if I don't get it, then chances are they don't.
But other than that, I'd just like you to talk freely, and I'd like you to include this conversation for men and women. A lot of people forget that men can get breast cancer as well.
Oh, yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the lymphatic system, and maybe the breast class we can do on a different show.
Okay.
Because it's a whole ball game all by itself.
Okay.
Figured this out. But as you saw, you said the closet. You always have. Sometimes you have to clean out your closet. Sometimes you have to flush the toilet. The lymphatic system
yeah.
is the sewer of your body. It's three times bigger than your circulatory system. So that means it's really important. So all these dead cells that are dead in your body, normally cells die, we make new cells. These cells are in your interstitial fluid. That's the fluid that runs, oh my gosh, I didn't turn off my phone, that runs through in between all your cells, all right? And they float around in this
right.
fluid. There's also one thing that you didn't key up on of being is emotions. Emotions are huge in causing cancer. And you get emotions in your liver, your kidneys, your colon, your breast tissue, your brain. One lady came to me with cellulitis in her face. What?
Wow.
I didn't know. I never heard about that. And I can't touch her because I could kill her. But anyway, so emotions are huge. That's why at Hippocrates we have Andy and Anthony to get these emotions out of that body, to heal that body, because not always food is the problem. It's sometimes the
right.
Environment. I got very, very sick breathing in tar. They were doing our roofs. And I didn't go to work for like 3 days because I was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of get into your body that we're not thinking about. Glade plug-ins, they're parabens.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting into our body. Our lymphatic system now has to pick up that and get rid of it. Now, one of the ways, there's B cells and T cells in your body. Those are the B cells are they're the memory cells. They're the cells that go through your body and go, oh, I remember this toxin that somebody just sneezed and I'm breathing in, and I'm going to go eat it. It's called macrophage, and there's a lot of names for these B cells. So I've just put them under B cells. T cells. So B cells, how do you increase your B cells? On the trampoline, on the rebounder.
Yep.
B cells, bone marrow. It's made in your bone marrow, and it comes and it just goes through your interstitial fluid, and your body somehow, don't understand this, I'm not a doctor, but somehow your body signals. And those B cells go to that cell and it eats it up. Now, T cells
mm-hmm.
are killer cells. And how do you make T cells? They're made in your bone marrow. And how can you stimulate T cells? Well, what happens is the T cells are made in your bone marrow, and then they come through your bone marrow and go into your thymus, right under the notch of your neck, in between your breast, higher than your breast. Is your thymus. So when you tap on your thymus, you're actually stimulating the T cells to go through your body. So anybody that has an autoimmune disease or has cancer, they need to start bouncing, and they need to stimulate that bone marrow, and they need to tap on their
mm-hmm.
thymus, because the
mm-hmm.
T cells will just stay there forever. And as you get older, your thymus actually shrivels a little bit. So you have to keep on tapping on that thymus. And that will eliminate,
mm-hmm.
that will release those T cells to go through your body. And they will eat up those are the killer cells that kill cancer cells. So we really
mm-hmm.
need to do this. One of the main things that anybody can do, which is very simple, dance.
Mm-hmm.
Movement. And the other thing that everyone needs to do is dry brushing. Dry brushing, I have it on my website. I have it on Lymph Linda on Facebook. I have all the videos. I just put them up on the top so you don't have to scroll for an hour. And and I show you the easiest way to dry brush. You don't need a dry brush. You can use a washcloth. Never use a dry brush on your breath or your face, ever. And I don't use a dry brush. I use a washcloth because it's clean. So what I do is dry brushing the lymph lint away is you take your dry washcloth on a dry body and you go from the top of your foot up your body. Then you get into the shower, rinse off your washcloth, put soap on your washcloth, and wash up your body going towards your heart. Get out of the shower after you rinse off, then take the towel and dry up your body with the towel. So you're now dry brushing three times. So it's dry up, wash up, dry up. And you've already dry brushed your body three times. And if you miss a place, you've got a hold of it within three times. Those are the easiest ways to move your own lymphatic drainage and do your own lymphatic drainage. Cool?
Well, yeah. And I talk to people about bouncing a lot. Even people that, I mean, I'm a swimmer, and that's where I get my biggest amount of exercise.
Perfect.
And when I'm in the swimming pool, I bounce. Just up and down on my toes, I just bounce and bounce and bounce around the pool. And I can actually jump when I'm in the weightless pool, you know. And so, yes, I coach people on that a lot. I just recently had a phone call about this. And I said, you got to start bouncing. And, of course, I told people about poultices with wheatgrass if they have an open wound on their breast, which is horrific. And a lot of people that I know are like me. They don't go to doctors. So they, you know, I say, you know, these are your choices, I believe, and you have the right to make those choices. But in the interim, you have to pay attention to what's going on to your body. Now, let me ask you something. I remember many, many, many years ago, we had somebody that worked at Hippocrates, and I worried about him because he was high stress, and he had the blackest, he looked like a raccoon, the blackest circles under his eyes. And somebody came in and told him, somebody he met told him to put Preparation H under his eyes.
Oh, wow.
So he comes in, his eyes are all, I mean, his eyes were bloodshot. He was like in pain. I said, what did you do? And he said, this woman that was here told me a little bit of Preparation H would take care of these black circles under my eyes. And I went, oh my good Lord. Thank God you didn't get any in your eyes, you know. So I went to Brian. This was like in 2002. I was new to this game, first of all. And I went in and Brian said, oh my Lord. He said, it's a wonder he didn't blind himself. And I said, what do I tell him to do? And he says, tell him to get on the limpolines. And, of course, a lot of people call them trampolines or bouncers.
Rebounder.
When I worked in Michigan, rebounders. And I said, you know, limpolines is what we call them, and that's why. So Brian told me if he bounces 10 minutes a day on a limpoline, those circles under his eyes will dissipate. And they don't completely, because by that time he had very dark skin there from whatever it changed the pigmentation or something. But they weren't so swollen and they weren't so angry looking and he didn't look like somebody punched him in the nose, you know. So I talk about that all the time. Now, let me ask you something. You mentioned the skin brushing. How do you feel about somebody who's detoxing doing a salt scrub? How do you feel about that?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you can do it yourself. You don't need anybody. And people with a whole bunch of COVID, people are scared to go places. You can take an Epsom salt bath. I mean, I don't have a bathtub. I was stupid. I took all my bathtubs out when I redid my house. I didn't think about it. And but you can take an Epsom salt bath. It'd be 4 cups of Epsom salts, 2 cups of baking soda, and that's a really good detox bath. Go all the way up to your chin and just soak in it if you can. Mm-hmm. I can't because I don't have a bathtub. So I take a washcloth and I put some Epsom salts on my washcloth, wet it, and I just start dry brushing going up toward my heart with Epsom salts. and then I rinse it off. Mm-hmm. Your skin is like really soft, you know. It's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And I put mm-hmm. kids in Epsom mm-hmm. salts. I put everybody in Epsom salts. One thing that's really good for underarms for people, I just I'll be remembering things. I have a Rolodex in my head like you do, and detoxing yeah. the armpit, detoxing armpits. I haven't worn deodorant mm-hmm. for a lot of years. And what you do is take baking soda and water and make it a paste, like you're going to help a bee sting. And you're going to go out
right.
in the sun and put the baking soda on your armpits and let it dry. And then jump in your pool. If you don't have a pool, then just it'll flake off. But just do mm-hmm. that for 10 minutes. And you do that a couple times.
Wow.
During the week, and you will have no odor under your armpits. I live in Florida. I have no deodorant, and so that's a mm-hmm. really good detox for your armpits, lymphatically.
Mm-hmm.
So that mm-hmm. that removes mm-hmm. the toxins under there.
I've done both. I've done the baking soda for that, and I have a family member who makes a lot of natural things for me. And one of the things she makes me is a magnesium oil. And I use that for my deodorant. And I love it. And it doesn't smell, you know, like flowers or whatever, all the different kinds of scents some of the deodorants have today. But I'm a big woman, so that's something that I think about, you know, having not smelling bad. So that works for me beautifully. But I did in the past use the baking soda, and I'm a big believer in baking soda. I also use, I had one of the kids here get bit by a spider. And
ooh.
We're not doctor people, yeah, and she got so, and it was right under where the back of her bra went. It got so inflamed, I was afraid she was, you know, really going to get sick because I could tell it had poison in it. So that's what I did. I made baking soda paste in the beginning and just would put it on and let it dry and let it start drawing. And
yeah.
And then I went to Hippocrates and had Jeff bring me wheatgrass juice and the poultice. I made a poultice with the wheatgrass and soaked it in some of the juice and put it on a bandage and pulled all the poison. I mean, she got a wound from a little tiny spider that was as big around as an egg. So
wow.
I believe in that too. That's good input for everybody to remember. And I've talked about it before on the show, but thank you for bringing it up with this. Let me ask you something.
Think,
is there?
Go ahead. No, I said we have to think like our grandmothers and go back to what they used to do. You know,
mm-hmm.
and
I agree.
They use vinegar, baking soda, Epsom salts, and all those kinds of things. We have to go back to, you know, turmeric and ginger and lemons and limes and things that they used
mm-hmm.
for all of us kids and their kids and grandchildren. And we just have to go back and rethink this, because when you're taking a prescription, there's side effects. Well, the side effects aren't normal. That means you've been poisoned. Your body's trying to kick off these side effects, you know, the poisons that doctors say that they're side effects. There's no such thing as side effects. Your body is saying you're poisoning me, and so
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't have side effects with things. You know, there's sometimes
exactly.
where charcoal, activated charcoal, can fix a whole bunch
yeah.
of things.
That's a wonderful one. I always forget about that one. Yeah, good idea.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Activated charcoal is what they give you when you're food poisoned in the hospital. I've been food poisoned before. It's not a fun thing. I thought I was going to die. I actually called my kids, and I have three children. I called one of them that would answer, and I'm dying. 3 hours later, and I really thought I was dying. 3 hours later, I went, hi, I'm fine. Activated charcoal.
Wow.
When you're taking antibiotics and you're done with the antibiotics, some people need to take antibiotics. It's a medicine that some people just have to take. When you're done taking antibiotics, get that activated charcoal going in your body and pull that stuff out. When you're done with chemo, get that activated charcoal, getting that stuff out of your body. You know, it's a wonder drug. It's grandma.
So Tommy, explain how you would utilize that. I think most people know what activated charcoal is, but explain how they would prepare that and how they would take that, because it comes in a couple different forms that I'm aware of. What would be your go-to way to prepare that and apply it?
Okay. If I need to apply it, I would just break open the capsule. I also have activated charcoal toothpaste, which just makes a mess out of my bathroom. I don't use it. Mm-hmm. I want to, but I'm not cleaning my bathroom every 2 times a day. I just take it in tablets. Mm-hmm. You can go on Amazon. It's really cheap. The first one that comes up is what I take. Your fingers get a little bit blackened, but it washes right off from taking the pill.
Okay.
But when I got food poisoning, I took 5. And I took 5 the first day. I drank baking soda and water, and I was fine. And when I had a very bad kidney thing just recently, and high fever, and I knew it was my kidneys. It was, like I told you, emotions go into your body. My weakest thing in my body is my kidneys. And so, and also kidneys mean fear. So when I was released from Hippocrates, I felt fine. I felt released. They said, boy, you're taking this well. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'm really happy right now. So anyway, but I think my body didn't. And so it went into my kidney. So I, of course, called Anthony, you know, and somehow Dr. Keith, Simi, called me out of the blue. I haven't talked to him in 3 years. And he talked to me about my emotions in my kidney. So the first thing that I did was take 3 activated charcoals. I went to bed. My fever got done in five hours, and I was fine. My urine was brown. I knew it was my kidney. And then it turned my urine turned like a pinkish, and then it's been clear. So activated charcoal, baking soda and water, an 1/8 teaspoon of baking soda in 4 ounces of water 3 times a day will help your kidneys. So if anybody has a kidney issue, I'm not saying kidney cancer, it might not be a cure, but if you have a kidney issue, then like if your urine is orange, start doing baking soda and water. You know, it really works.
That's great input. And I think I knew that, but I had forgotten about that. But that's another reason why people like us should talk, you know, more often, because if we get an opportunity to utilize some of the things that we learned through trial and error, by the way, not by anybody who knew everything, because there is no such person, but we would do a lot of experimentation and help with things. Let me ask you something. I have a very close friend now that I am partnering with on some stuff, and she has a major problem with high blood pressure. You got any input for that, honey?
They won't like it.
Raw food. Let me hear it.
Raw food.
Yeah, she won't do that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But there are other things. I've asked her to give up things, you know, like bacon and things like that if she has this problem. I mean, I've talked to her about that. But is there anything else? I mean, I thought about some different things, and I always tell people, you know, if you eat 3 pieces of bacon at breakfast, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon you can barely breathe, that's called a wake-up call. That's an alarm system that your body is giving to you. And mind you, I like bacon just as much as the next person. But, you know, when something like that happens and you're over the age of 50, you have to be listening to it. That's your very intelligent body's way of letting you know that you did something that ain't such a great idea for you. So, and some people can eat a pound of bacon. And people that go on, I was on the Atkins diet. I've lost thousands of pounds on the Atkins diet, Linda. At least 1,000 pounds in my lifetime. And that's all you eat
is
meat.
I lost the gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to me on Atkins. I lost the gallbladder.
Yeah. Well, I know so many people. Yeah, I know.
A lot of people
I know. But, So,
no, the only thing I can tell for hypertension.
Yeah.
The only thing that I know factually is you have to get rid of all meat, all dairy, all sugars, and you have to go on a – sorry, I hate saying it because people – but you have choices in your life. You want to save your life and you want to live. Do you want to live with statins and blood pressure medicines and all that kind of stuff, or can you give up? And you don't have to give up everything all at once. When I started at Hippocrates, I was eating what I considered normal, you know. I was eating healthy. I was eating salads and things. But when I first started, I was eating normal. I couldn't give up everything. I couldn't. It was just impossible. I mean, I had 8 things of ice cream in my freezer. My daughter-in-law came over and went, what's the flavor of the day? And I don't eat ice cream. I haven't eaten ice cream for years. And actually, my kids are like, wow, you don't eat ice cream? No, I don't eat ice cream. Because I figured I need to give up things. And then all of a sudden, you give up things like Diet Coke. I was a Diet Coke-aholic. And I knew that was hurting. I knew that was hurting me. And my brain knew, but my body craved it. I don't drink Diet Coke anymore. I haven't bought Diet Coke in a long time. Now, every once in a while, can I have a Diet Coke? Yes, of course. It's a little thing. So your bacon thing, which I don't eat, but on your bacon thing, have a bacon maybe once a week. And then pretty soon, once every 2 weeks. And pretty soon, she won't want it anymore, just like meat. It's like everyone, when I go to North Carolina, I have to have a brisket. I don't, it's just the best. It's my favorite meat of all time. And I just... If you treat yourself with it, you know, it's not. So, and people don't want to give that up. So if she can get rid of one thing, place it with a healthy thing, and just keep doing that weekly, pretty soon she's going to be a lot healthier, I think.
Well, she's, you know, she's only in her 50s. She's not in her 70s, and she's. She has a very active, very, very active life. She's actually running for political office. So I'm concerned about her health, and she's had a history of some health trauma. So, but what about some of the natural things that we just talked about? Giving up things, nobody wants to hear that from the get-go. Eventually, as they start feeling better, they will, you know, they will say, you know, God, if I can feel this good by doing this, I wonder what, you know, it. You kind of lead into it. So is there anything, you know, like I was trying to think if I ever remembered anybody telling me anything about lowering your blood pressure with, I mean, you know, we talk about mindset and we talk about a cup of herbal tea, we talk about breathing. You know, she had an episode yesterday, and I said, I called her significant other, and I said, sit with her and make her breathe. Nice breath.
Yes.
And calm herself down. And, you know, all those kind of things, you know, I'm big on, because I know that, you know, that old saying, mind over matter, and if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Well, that's the truth. That is the truth.
It is.
So I've coached her on that, and of course, I'm on this show, which I've been doing now for, I took a sabbatical, but I've been doing this show for more than 10 years, and mental health, Linda, is singly speaking, the biggest illness that we have in the world, the biggest illness, and it's the hardest one to fix, right? So I always know that when somebody's struggling with anything to any great degree, there's an underlying something. And, of course, people tell me everything,
that's the way my life has always been. I mean, their deepest, darkest, whatever they've shared with me. And I know that that's usually the driving force behind most health problems is something that you can't let go of. But you don't know of anything that would help. I tried to think if I remembered anybody ever talking to me about anything there is, because they like something that's tangible. You know, instead of just their responsibility, something that's tangible. And sometimes if they can do that and grasp onto that and say, okay, like you just said about the baking soda baths and the salt scrub, which I agree with you is like of the utmost importance. Your skin is your biggest organ, blah, blah, blah. It's like so important to keep your skin breathing the way it needs to breathe. What can we tell her about the blood pressure?
Well, acupuncture can help.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
Acupuncture is very good for lowering blood pressure. Chlorella. I mean, it's a little green pill.
I forgot about chlorella.
Chlorella is very good for spirulina, E3 live, all those things, you know, that we have, but it costs money. It tastes like crap, you know, but those things. But acupuncture, I think, is one of the really good things for the heart. I have, when in my office, I have two acupuncturists working with me. And when they're done with me, I send them to them. And so it's like, it's a one-stop shop. But no, acupuncture, I think, is what I can think of would be one of the better things if you can take the needles. And it's under $100, you know, and a lot of acupuncturists take insurance. You know, not all insurance take acupuncture.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You know, but that's one thing I would tell her, because number one, that's going to help her, number one, and that's going to relax her, number two, because when they after they stick the needles in, they actually leave you alone to soak.
Right.
They leave you alone, then they come and check on you, and then they leave you alone for another 15 minutes. And you're all comfortable. You're very, very, very comfortable. And it can increase your energy. It can decrease your heart rate. It's going to – and you become addicted. I see the same people coming through my office going to acupuncture sometimes once or twice a week because they feel so much better. And it doesn't make them take another pill that's going to cause, you know, problems for them with, I can't remember the name, you know, side effects. I couldn't remember that word. So
that happens to me all the time.
I didn't even think of that. I'm getting there.
Yeah. You're how old are you now?
67. So I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I think I've been there in my 50s.
Yeah. I think, I think we have, people like us don't have you're not done until the fat lady sings kind of attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that serves us.
Always lymphatic drainer helps everything. I can't do lymph on the heart because I would kill you. One of my teachers actually didn't believe it, and she tried it, and she went into an episode that she'll never do that again, and she warned us.
Wow.
And I said, okay, I'm not going to do that on myself or anybody else. And so, but lymphatic drainage is getting rid of all the garbage. You got to get the garbage out. You got to flush the toilet. And for somebody that's sedentary, especially during COVID, when we weren't supposed to leave the house, we couldn't go to the pools, we couldn't go to the gym, everybody sat around and ate. I'm sorry, I did. Or drank. You know, alcohol has gone up in price like crazy, the buying of alcohol and snacks. It's been skyrocketing. And so everybody's been sitting around. I was part of it in the beginning. And then I went, I got to get out of this. I can't do this. Because there was no work. I couldn't touch people. So the governor told me I had to stay home. So I was sedentary for almost 3 months. You know, after especially working 6 days a week, doing what I love to do, and I can't touch people. Mm-hmm. It's like when you can't, it's like you're a hugger. It's like you telling you not to hug people. It's like I got to hug them, you know? It's like you, that was, so being sedentary. So we got up, I got my neighbor, and I said, we're walking. And it was the worst hour of my day. I was sweating, dripping down my back in this Florida weather, but I walked every frickin' day because I had to make myself. When the pools opened up, I run in the pool for, like, I'm like you. I run in the pool for 2 hours. And now it's so cold, like, I can't go in the pool.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
No, maybe maybe today I can.
Yeah.
But so you just
Well, and that's what, you know, I mean, that's what I tell everybody. I mean, we have some mutual friends that are in their 80s, and that's what I say to them. They say, Renee, do you ever sit still? And I'm like, you know, it's not a good idea when you get to be my age to sit still a lot. Larry said to me the other day, he says, who cleans that giant house? And I said, me. And he goes, why doesn't somebody help you? And I said, because I need the exercise more than they do. That's why. I have 4,500 square feet here. I vacuum every other day and mop all the floors and everything. And he says, well, don't you? And I said, honey, it's one of the things that's keeping me okay, you know.
Yeah.
Once
you have
stop.
A lot of people.
Yes, yes. And but I think that that's a good part. Well, the lady that I'm talking about is very active and things like that. So I'm not so worried about those things. But I am worried about her eating habits. And, of course, I'm the last one to tell somebody that they shouldn't eat this or shouldn't eat that. I couldn't even do that at Hippocrates because it made me feel like I had more faces than Eve, if you know what I mean. So I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, make choices. Plus that, the other thing that was one of my go-to things to say to somebody when they came to me, it's not when you are miserable, and you've already said this, but you use different vocabulary, when you feel like you're just, you know, you're giving up or you just can't do this anymore or what is wrong with me? Why can't I feel better? You know, the doctors say there's nothing wrong with me. I've heard all those stories, and I say, because it's not just about the food you eat. It's about the energy and the words that you take in. It's what kind of interactions you swallow and absorb into your system. If you are in a relationship where somebody is not kind to you, get out of it. It will never serve you, and it will never be okay for you. And that's another big part. Of course, in today's energy, the fear and the argumentative, that's going on here. Everybody, you know, everybody has something to say to somebody about how terrible they are instead of absorbing their own issues. So the unkindness, I mean, you know, like I say to people, you know, I stopped being friends with a few people. And if you'd have told me 5 years ago I would ever do that, I'd say, oh, no, I can take anything. But, you know, enough is enough. If you have that kind of energy coming at you at a level that you literally cannot digest it anymore, it's worse for you than the bacon, right?
Yep.
It's really worse for you than the bacon.
If I told you, if I came into work and I told you, oh, my gosh, Renee, you look so tired. And I was like, are you okay? Oh, my goodness, you look so tired. By the middle of the day, you would feel exhausted.
You would actually take
my words. And so I don't ask anybody, you look tired. I go, you look rested. You know, when they come out of the harmony room after all those EMF things, you know, and it's like, oh, you look rested. No, they look tired. They look exhausted. But I don't say that because I don't want to get in, because in 10 minutes they're going to feel fine. They just have to wake back up. They were sleeping for a half an hour, you know?
Yeah.
So, but if I kept saying that to people, it's like, oh, you look like crap. Well, I've said that to people. only.
Well, that used to be an old saying. If two people tell you you don't look good, lay down. You know, you literally absorb that energy. I know. So let me ask you something. Yeah. When you do some of the the classes that you did at Hippocrates, of all the different things, I mean, the therapists at Hippocrates are awesome. There's no two ways about that. The Elfridas of the world, the Andy and Anthony and Bodhi, and I mean, Bodhi practically saved Heretic King's life. You know, and there's so many special people there. And all the things you started doing, after you started doing your classes, you were no longer one-on-one. So you even treated a larger amount of people in different ways. Because being able to have a class with everybody and explain some of the things that you were able to explain to them, I mean, that was like having a second session with you. And I don't know if anybody understood the importance of that. Of course, we had a lot of people there who are more about who they are instead of recognizing the gifts of others. I pride myself on realizing how lucky I am to have certain people around me, you know. So, what do you say to men, Linda? I mean, because men get breast cancer too. Mm-hmm.
I put him on Facebook. He's somewhere there. I had a man with a double mastectomy.
Wow.
which in my breast class he put on my boob. You know my boob.
Yes,
my
I do.
They're all over the world. My son just goes, "Oh, mom." Anyway. My son goes, "Oh, jeez." I did my breast class in church one time and for a free lecture, and he's like, "Ah, I don't know why I taught you this." But men get breast cancer.
Cute.
One of the health educators had a lump in his breast, and I said, "You really need to go look at this." And I can't remember the name of it. But it begins with a P, and it's a very long name. This is why I have to dumb down what I do, because I can't pronounce all these doctor names. Actually, ingrown hair, about 3 feet long. And it was, so
wow.
It was fine. I know. So, but my father had breast cancer.
Really?
He was at the dermatologist. He said, "There's a lump right here." And the guy goes, "Oh, it's probably an ingrown hair." And so he took a knife and he moved his breast cancer in his office. He didn't know it was breast cancer. Then sent him to the oncologist to undo what he did, I guess. And, you know, my dad, that's what started my breast class, my daddy. And that's when I started researching and not researching, actually making this stuff up myself, and it was like, but it works, and that's why if we had an extra hour, I could go into this, but I don't know how long we have and how many people want to listen to me for that long, but that's what started me on my thing with my boobs and starting to do my own breast examinations and my own massages on my breast and then make into a lecture. I'm actually, when I say these things, Rainey, I'm really proud of myself. And I'm kind of humbled.
I would hope so.
I'm really humbled how I make this stuff up and it works. And people, you may say, look at me, I'm a wackadoodle. I'm literally a wackadoodle. Ask my kids. I'm a nut. And I'm getting more anxiety as I get older. I'm trying to stop that. But it's just growing. But I'm a wackadoodle. I make this stuff up, but I said, and it's so simple, but it works. And you just have to touch yourself, you know? And just to talk about the breast for a minute, is if when you put on your bra, before you put on your bra, massage your breast. When you take your bra off, massage your breast. If you can do that every day, your breast tissue will actually change. you need to massage the red marks of that bra. And right now, mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere. I come home and the first thing I do is take off my bra. I only left the house for an hour yesterday to go get my hair cut, because that's what I do. And the minute I came home, I took my bra. It's like, why do I have to wear this? There's nobody around. You know, I don't have it on now, and I won't put it on unless I have to go out in public. And it's just, actually, there's a girl named Carol Carter, and I can say her name. She came into my room at Epocrates, and I was like Superman. I was bent over my massage table sideways and with my arms in the air in such pain. And she said, Linda, what's the matter? She was my next guest. And I go, I have never done this before in my life, and I hope you don't mind, but I have to take my bra off. And she goes, oh, go ahead. I literally took my bra off at Epocrates. It was my last hour, and she could care less. Mm-hmm. And it was, my bra was hurting me so bad. And, you know, I've gained weight, so I have to get a bigger bra, you know, and you don't think that. And you put that bra on, that's going to hold you tight, and you can't do that. You've got to let those girls just out, and you have to mm-hmm. massage them, because that pain was very real. And I thought, oh, God, I got liver cancer. I got stomach cancer. I have pancreatic cancer. There's something in my body that's hurting. And they realized it's my bra.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Probably
3 years ago, I quit wearing traditional bras because, you know, I'm a 42 double D, and they drove me insane. I mean, I was messing with it all day long, and I'd come home and it would be a mess and everything. So I started if you'd have told me, I would have started wearing a sports bra. I'd have told you, you're crazy, because I'd be embarrassed, because it wouldn't give me any support. It wouldn't do this. It wouldn't do that. And of course, we grow up believing, you know, what everybody else tells us and what we're supposed to look like and what we're not supposed to look like. It's like being, you know, thin or heavy or voluptuous or a stick. I mean, you know, women get, they get pretty confused at a really young age. So when I started wearing sports bras, the whole thing changed. And I have some favorites. I have some that I would never wear again, but I did some experimentation so that I was comfortable. And that's what was the most important thing to me. So I agree with you there. I also agree with the fact that if you wear something that's uncomfortable, that's a gift we were born with that says, you shouldn't be wearing that, excuse me, but if you are miserable in it, take it off. So
yeah.
I believe in that too. And it's not supposed to be about your vanity. It's supposed to be about your health and how well you feel, especially when you work in an arena like yours and mine in those days. It's about being comforting to other people. If you're not comfortable, how the hell are you going to make somebody else comfortable?
No, it's like when you have to go to the bathroom. I'm thinking about, I got to go to the bathroom, and I'm not thinking about you on the table.
Yeah.
And so I go, I mean, TMI, but I say, I got to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, my goodness, go. I mean, no guest ever said, well, it's all about you. No, they don't think that way. But I got to get back to men. I got to get back to men and lymphatic drainage.
Okay. All right.
Michael, one of our general managers, he said, oh, you don't see too many men, do you? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, what for? And I go, they have a lymphatic system. They have to, you know, if you move your lymphatic system, you possibly might not get prostate. If you move your lymphatic system, you possibly will have a good pancreas, a good liver, a good kidney, a good face, maybe not oral cancer. I've had many men with many more men than women with oral cancer. And you know, remember Philip? And I, oh my goodness, uh-huh. There's so many men that I totally love. Jim Campanella cured his liver cancer. and cured Hep C. He would come to me. He comes to Hippocrates, I think, 3 or 4 times a year, and he's done a video for Hippocrates. That's why I can say his name. But I have men all the time. I have a man in my office right now with one kidney removed because of kidney cancer, and he comes to me, and his wife sent me a picture of him. After my lymphatic, he slept for 12 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
He was so toxic because he worked for Polo, the Polo grounds, and he was so toxic. He hasn't seen me for almost a year, and he's so toxic that he slept 12 hours. She sent me a picture of him, face up, just sprawl.
Wow.
You know, and men have to come. They're not special. You get diseases just like women, you know, and seriously, oral cancer, I yelled, this is something that people should yell at with their dentist. My dentist has never checked me for oral cancer, and I brought it up to him. And he said, wow, because I see more oral cancers than he's ever done in his whole lifetime. He says he might see 1 or 2 in his lifetime. I've seen 20 at least. And so I said, I want you to check my mouth for oral cancer. I can't see in my mouth like you can. And so he moved my tongue. He did all of this really good checkup. And the next day, my tongue was all swollen. I had to do lymph on my tongue because of all the movement and all the stagnation. How many times do you go in your mouth with your hand and move the lymph? You don't. Nobody does.
No.
And so these dentists need to check. When you go to the dentist the next time, say, check my mouth for oral cancer. And maybe we can eliminate oral cancer for the rest of our lives, unless you're a smoker or, you know, unless you do, you know, bad things that I have no control over. But, so that's another thing. And, I mean, I've done eyes for macular degeneration, and it helped. I haven't cured it, but I've gone up noses. Please don't make me go up your nose. I really don't like that. That was not a session that I want to ever learn again. But I can do that. You know, people with MS, I've had them on my table, and they've been I had no idea I could get rid of sciatica pain. The lady, I was up in the Hamptons working, and she's came to me with sciatica, and I go, I can't help this. You need somebody like a neuromuscular guy, like, you know, Tom or somebody. And she gets up and she goes, I'm not in pain anymore. And I went, oh, I guess I can do that. I guess something, it's a nerve pain. I can't do that. But apparently lymphatic can. So I can get you out of pain. You know, it's just not lymphoma. It's not just, you know, lymphedema. It's not just breast cancer. It's the everyday stuff, falling down, having a hurt knee. You know, it's just an upkeep sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So men need to be on the table.
I think that moving somebody's energy around too, Linda, is one of the, and when I would talk to you about people and tell them to come see you, they would say, well, I think my lymph is fine. And I'd say, listen to me. It's also about your energy. And if you, again, you can't stop the things that are said to you, the things that are done to you, the heartache that you absorb into your body. We do a show every now and then about Dr. Amen, who believes everybody should have a brain scan. So we're out of time, and I hate that, but I will definitely have you on the show again. But I want to leave this saying that what you do with the gentle massage that you do is also redirecting energy. I believe that with my heart and soul. So I believe that that's a part of what is being done, too. I lost probably 6 family members to mouth cancer, Linda. Of course, they all smoked. They all drank. Irish Catholic people all smoke and drink, sorry to say, except this one. Well, I've done my share of drinking, but I never smoked. But, and it's a horrible way to die, mouth cancer.
Yes,
horrible, it is. Horrible way to die. So I want to thank you because we're going to be out of time.
Oh, no,
and this is a great, great show. And I hope you'll do it for us again. I would love to have you on again.
Can
and
I give out
let everybody
phone number?
Know. Yes, absolutely. Shout it out.
Okay. I work at Balance Point Acupuncture. My personal phone number, this is my personal phone number, is 561-818-6134. And if you have a question, you can call me directly. I work after work, just like Rainey does. It's like it doesn't cost you anything. So call me if you need me, and I'm there. I can add hours, but I'm there Sunday, Monday, and Thursday.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay.
Good luck and all that. I don't think you need my wish for good luck because I think you're doing a heck of a job. And I think, and I know personally how many people you've helped. And because I was lucky enough to hear responses after the fact, I have never, ever received any kind of anything other than praise about Linda's
thank you, Rainey.
Technology,
thank you for saying
her
that.
Technique, and the fact that, you know, she made up a class, people. She came up with a class all on her own. She wasn't directed by the leaders of Hippocrates or the leaders in a church or the leaders anyways. She came up with a class that she knew was going to help people. Swallow that, absorb that, and get back to her if you need her. Thank you so much. Thank you, Linda. You are awesome, honey.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch. All right?
God's blessing. All right, bye.
Same here, honey. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.